Good morning, and welcome to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. This is Chris McElyea, your host this morning. I'm glad you've joined me on this Thursday morning, October the 20th, 2016. Our year is rapidly moving towards a close, and we are continuing today our ongoing study of the New Testament in 2016. I hope you've been with us through the year. If not, no better time than to start than today. We are going to be looking this morning for our study this morning in Hebrews chapter 5 will be our topic for discussion. So have your Bible ready and we'll be there in a few minutes. But before we do that, we like to begin our program with our bulletin board as always. And this morning we have several announcements for you, and one of those is coming up this Saturday, October the 22nd, and that is going to be in Mount Pleasant, Texas, at the North Jefferson Church of Christ, and it is going to be the 13th annual North Jefferson Ladies' Day. Looking forward to this. Ladies, I hope you're going to make plans to attend. The speaker is going to be Holly McCormick, and what a great theme they have this year: Living Without Fear in the Present Culture. For more information, you can contact the North Jefferson Congregation at 903-572-1136. That's 903-572-1136. The Northeast Texas Bible Bowl series is underway now. It began Monday a week ago, and the series began over with a study of Ruth and also the first five chapters of Esther. That was hosted by the congregation from Maud, Texas. And the next meeting of the Bible Bowl series will be November the 7th. The topic will be in Esther, and the host will be the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant. Other coming dates for the meetings this year will be December the 12th, hosted by Atlanta. Now, all of these are held at the North Jefferson building, and then the sponsoring or host congregation that week provides the speakers and refreshments. And so the host for December the 12th will be Atlanta, January the 9th, Mount Vernon, February the 13th, Fulbright in Reno, March 13th, New Boston, and April the 10th, North Jefferson. So make plans to have your young people at that and be studying for the next event, which will be over Esther, chapters 1 through 5. I hope that you're making plans to attend the 2016 Gospel Radio Network Lectureship and Supporters Banquet. This is going to be held November 5th and 6th in Mount Vernon, Texas, at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ, the home of the Gospel Radio Network, located on Main Street, just a few blocks west of the square. This is going to get underway with a theme of proclaiming the gospel of peace. Now, we hope you'll be able to attend, but if you're not, all of these lessons will be broadcast live here on the network. It begins at 9 a.m. with Brother Mike Bonner speaking on the gospel of peace. At 10 a.m., Brother Brian Hodge will speak on the God of peace. At 11 a.m., Brother John Hall will speak on the Prince of Peace. And then at noon will be the third annual Broadcasters and Supporters Banquet. This is for everyone involved with the Gospel Radio Network, be it as a broadcaster, be it as a financial supporter, being it as a one who supports it with your prayers, or you're just a regular listener and you enjoy the things that you hear here on the network. We want you to attend. That will be at noon on Saturday the 5th. It's going to be a barbecue luncheon, and we hope that you'll be there. Again, at 1:30, we'll pick up in the afternoon session. At 1:30, Brother Brian Berdeau will speak on the Gospel of Peace Unites. At 2:30 p.m., Brother Clay Bond speaking on the Gospel of Peace Divides. And at 3:30, Brother John McCormick, the Gospel of Peace is the answer to our social problems. Then that will bring the day to a close, and then we'll resume on Lord's Day morning, November the 6th. At 9:30 a.m. in the Bible class hour, Brother Preston McElyea will speak on the topic of Blessed Are the Peacemakers. At 10:30 a.m., Brother Phil Hancock will speak on the peace that passes understanding. At noon, there will be a potluck lunch for everyone. And then at 1:30, our final lesson will be with Brother J.J. Hendricks, Beautiful Are the Feet of Those Who Proclaim the Gospel of Peace. We look forward to seeing you there, and if you're not able to attend in person, remember you can hear each one of these lessons live here on the network. November the 13th through the 16th, if you're in the Northeast Texas area, you may need to make plans to attend what is going to be an outstanding gospel meeting held at the North Jefferson Congregation in Mount Pleasant, Texas. The North Jefferson Congregation is located at 2311 North Jefferson Street in Mount Pleasant. The speaker for this series of gospel meetings is going to be Brother Jason Rollo. Brother Jason is a native Texan, been married to his wife BJ for over 21 years. They have two sons, Jackson, age 19, Josiah, age 16, and two daughters, Jenna, age 8, and Julia, who is 6. Jason is a graduate of the Houston College of the Bible in 1999 and Sam Houston State University in 1997 with a business degree. Jason has done local work in Apple Springs, Texas, Huntsville, Bryan College Station, Hearst, and Lovelady, Texas, his hometown. Currently, Jason serves as one of the elders of the BCS congregation in College Station, Texas, where he and his family live. Jason is actively involved in the local college Bible work, working with students from Texas A&M, and typically he and his wife BJ host weekly fellowships and Bible studies with this group in their home. Jason supports himself in secular employment, as he has his own business and insurance agency. And he has been on mission trips throughout the world to places like Singapore, the Philippines, Indonesia, and Mexico. He has also taken biblical education trips to Turkey and Israel. Over the years, Jason has preached in numerous lectureships and gospel meetings. Jason is the author of the Bible Study Program, and he also serves on the board of directors for Tullstar. Jason is 42 years old and has been preaching the gospel since he was a teenager. I've been blessed to know Jason for many years, and without a doubt, Jason is one of the most dependable and sound and effective teachers of the gospel within the brotherhood. The theme for this gospel meeting is Countercultural Christianity with Jason Rollo. On Sunday, this November the 13th, they will begin at 9 a.m. with Living Counterculturally in My Faith, The Life of the Cross in My Beliefs and Behavior. At 10 a.m., Living Counterculturally in a Culture of Death, Jesus the Author Came to Bring Life. At 6 p.m., living counterculturally in a culture of greed, having a heart to help. The meeting will continue on Monday at 7 p.m. with Living Counterculturally in Our Nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. The gospel is for all. Tuesday at 10 a.m., Living Counterculturally in Womanhood. This is a ladies' class, however, men will be welcome to attend. And the topic is the true beauty, value, and God-given role of women in society. Brother Rollo will bring a great lesson on this topic as well as the others. And Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Living Counterculturally in Our Marriages and Families. What a timely lesson as the home is under attack, marriage is under attack in our society. And Brother Rollo will bring a lesson on redefining marriage, the sexuality perversions versus God's design. And then finally, Wednesday at 7 p.m., Living Counterculturally in My Entertainment Choices. Morality and Chastity versus the Party Life, Violence, Foul Mouth, and Obscene Talk. You can visit this website at www.beingsaved.org. Or again, for more information, call 903-572-1136. We urge you to attend this. Let them know you heard about it here on TGRN. And I know that all the brethren at Mount Pleasant are excitedly looking forward to this great event. Okay, that's our bulletin board for this morning. If you have an event coming up in your area and you'd like to have it made known and publicized, we're happy to get the word out for you. Let us know here at office@tgrn.org. Okay, we're going to turn now our attention to our study for this morning as we consider today Hebrews chapter 5. I hope you picked up these first four chapters in previous editions of the program. If not, I encourage you to go to the on-demand section of the website and there go to the Mornings for the Master tab and pick up those programs which you have missed. Chapter 5 begins with the topic of the qualifications for high priesthood in the first few verses. And verse 1, we read, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men, in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." Now, as you recall, under the Mosaic law, the high priest were selected from among men. In fact, the priests were taken from among the Levites, and more specifically, from the descendants of Aaron. In Exodus chapter 28, in verse 1, we read, "Now take Aaron your brother and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar." And just a page over in chapter 29, in verse 9, it reads, "And you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons." The high priest would offer sacrifices and gift offerings to God. These were to obtain atonement from year to year until eventually the blood of Christ would wash away the sins at the cross. Jesus has replaced the high priest of the Old Testament. He is now our high priest, and his offerings are far greater than the priesthood of the Old Testament. For the Mosaical priests were still sinful men. But Jesus Christ is the perfect priest, for he is without sin. Jesus has no need of atonement or forgiveness, for he has no sin. They are not needed on his behalf. Here in Hebrews in chapter 8 in verse 3 it says, "For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer." The Hebrew writer is trying to get the Jewish Christians to turn back from the ways of Judaism, trying to keep them from going backwards. The Hebrew writer points out that Jesus is a far greater priest. He is powerful and full of glory. The Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament could offer nothing in comparison. Verse 2 says concerning Jesus that he can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. The high priest of the Mosaical system in which the Jews lived was supposed to be an individual that would display compassion upon the weak and the ignorant. This was supposed to be natural, since he was also a man and one who himself would commit sin at times. That is the way they were supposed to be. We certainly did not see, however, this mindset in the high priests such as Annas and Caiaphas when they were dealing with Jesus. Good men like Paul were more compassionate than these priests because they lived well aware of their own faults. Listen to Paul talking about his realization that he was a sinful man in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Back in our text in verse 3 it says, "Because of this he is required as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins." As a sinful man, the high priest would have to offer sacrifice for the atonement of his own sins, in addition to the sacrifice for the atonement of the sins of the people. And as always, though, they would twist it, and they would never do things in the end as they were supposed to, as they were required. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 7, we see the instruction that Moses gave to Aaron. "And Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded." You see, he was to go and offer first for his own sins and then for the people. And this shows us again how and why Jesus is a much greater high priest. For indeed, there is no need for forgiveness on Jesus' part. He is perfect, and he is sinless. And he achieved this while being tempted in every possible way. If you recall from yesterday's lesson in chapter 4 and verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are. Everything we face, Jesus faced. The difference is that the last part, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Man had no say in the appointment of the high priest. A man could not take that position upon himself. They had to meet certain qualifications, and the appointment came from God, just as God had appointed Aaron to be the high priest. Some men mistakenly take this passage for a calling of preachers today. This is taking the passage out of context for the references to the high priest of the Old Testament. We see, however, that Jesus, the perfect high priest, is not like the Old Testament, as we've noticed here in these first four verses, like those Levitical priests. But instead, Jesus is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And we'll see that now in the next few verses. Verse 5, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.' Jesus did not appoint himself to be a high priest. Notice that the Father named him a priest. The Father accomplished this purpose. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, "Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." Many people have questioned the priesthood of Christ through the ages. And notice the reference here of the Hebrew writer as he goes back to this 110th Psalm in verse 4. And here he ties everything together concerning Jesus and his priesthood. Notice Psalm 110 in verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You see, Jesus was not of the lineage of Aaron's line, but according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus was not an earthly priest because he was not of Aaron's line. Jesus is the spiritual priest, and his priesthood is universal. You see, Jesus could not have been an earthly priest, for he was not of the Levites, but instead he was from the tribe of Judah. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 4 says, "For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law." And so we begin to understand the priesthood of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophesied of Jesus as a king and a priest, and he is truly both. Jesus is a king, and he is reigning in his spiritual kingdom, and he is a high priest who is worthy to mediate for us before the Father. Consider Zechariah chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. "Then speak to him, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, from his place he shall branch out, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the counselor of peace shall be between them both." Melchizedek was the priest and king of Salem. He was not of the Aaronic lineage. Melchizedek was an antitype of the Christ. Melchizedek had not predecessor or follower, and Jesus had the same situation. However, Jesus Christ is now a king and a priest forever. Verse 7, "Who, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear." The reference here is still to Jesus. Jesus prayed to the Father, the only one with the power to stop the madness taking place at the hand of the Jewish leaders and the Roman rulers. Jesus prayed with such great intensity that if there was just any other way to let the cup pass from him. But Jesus prayed that not his will be done, but his Father's will be done. He could have stopped the madness. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 53 and 54, we read, "Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Jesus pleased his Father in all things, and Jesus was always in submission to the Father's will. The unbelievable, amazing grace and compassion of the Lord for man is simply beyond our comprehension. There was only one way that man could be saved from destruction. And the Lord Jesus was willing to pay the awful cost because of his incredible love for the created. Have you ever given thought to the fact that Jesus, being 100% flesh as well as deity, according to the scriptures, would have no greater burden placed upon him than he could bear? He is the only one that could have borne that burden. No one else would have had that burden placed upon them. No one could have taken it. Have you considered how little we have been asked to bear in comparison to our Lord? And though it was not the will of the Father, we must always remember that when it is required of us to change our will to submit to the Father's will, we must always remember that His grace is sufficient. We can bear it. Verse 8 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We train our earthly sons to be obedient, and we must learn obedience to our earthly father to obtain salvation because of our obedience to the author of eternal salvation. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me," John 6:38. What is your attitude? Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. It was those tests of his faith, the temptations, the rejection. The apostles would learn obedience through the trials and adversities. We learn as children what is not allowed by the parent. And as we grow older, we become obedient. The rod of correction is there to assist many times. We spiritually will grow obedient in adversity. We grow when we face hardship, not when all of life is hunky-dory. The sinful world in which we live is increasingly giving us opportunities to develop obedience to our God. Through increasing wickedness and opposition, Jesus, by becoming complete through his obedience, could be the Savior of the world and the author of eternal salvation to all of his obedient disciples that had been washed in his blood. One might ask, just how crucial is obedience? It is crucial because it is the only way to achieve eternal life. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Notice the teaching of Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. "So that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of God of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Blessed are those who keep the commandments, according to Revelation 22 and verse 14. The blessed ones that keep the commandments, these are the obedient. Verse 10 here talks of the priesthood of Jesus, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. God the Father has appointed Jesus as the high priest. Man has no say in the matter. God has ordained it, and so it is. Woe unto them that reject the perfect priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The call is made to our spiritual maturity in verses 11 through 14. Verse 11 says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. The Jewish Christians had become dull of hearing. In other words, they had become hard-hearted. And often, like many today, who are their spiritual descendants, they're not willing to learn truth. The subject of Christ being a priest after the order of Melchizedek was the reference, in all likelihood, and the apostles had much to say about this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Jewish Christians would have great difficulty understanding this because of the hardness of their hearts. They would have trouble getting past the fact that he was not a Levite, and that he was not a descendant of Aaron, among other things. They were locked in the past and not willing to see that Jesus was the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament law. In fact, the very attitude which they were displaying was pointed out by Jesus to be fulfillment of prophecy. Consider what the Lord said in Matthew 13, verses 14 and 15. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see but not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. The Jewish Christians have had sufficient time to grow to spiritual maturity. They should have become teachers themselves by now, and instead were still needing to be taught themselves. They were still babes after years. Our pews are filled today with babes that obeyed the gospel many, many years ago. Though we need to call to remembrance the first principles on a regular basis, we must also move on to the meatier and weightier things of the Word. A child that does not move from milk to solid food will not thrive or grow. Our spiritual life will not mature if we never move past milk. It is a great and wonderful thing to have a church house filled with newborn babies in the physical sense. But it is a sad tragedy to have a church house filled with 40, 60, and 80-year-old spiritual babies. A Christian that has been in the church for a period of time should, at the least, be able to teach the gospel to someone. Christians that have spent several decades in the church should be able to teach others concerning what God expects of man and how to be fruitful in the work and how to guard against false teachers. Mature brethren should be able to speak as the oracles of God and not have the need to be taught those things again. To speak as the oracles of God is to speak as if the words are the very breath of God. God's word through the mouth of man. Remember, the scripture is literally God-breathed, as Paul told Timothy. Verse 13 and 14, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." As we noted earlier, a new Christian can only absorb milk, the basics. But as one grows, they gain experience, and they increase in knowledge and in turn wisdom. Mature Christians will protect this individual like a mother protects her child. Satan certainly desires to have the babe in Christ, for it is the easiest time to pluck them away. The babe in Christ must be fed. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Lifelong spiritual babies lead to problems in the church. Often, in many congregations, a spiritual babe will even be placed into the eldership or teaching Bible classes. This leads to many of the problems that plague the church today. You see, the babe, these are individuals that will see no problem in immodesty, and in time, even enjoy the presence of immodesty. These type of people in the church are the ones that will encourage their children to attend school dances and perhaps visit the dance halls themselves, placing popularity above purity. These individuals will see no great harm in forsaking the assembly for recreation and family or perhaps a little extra income. These are the individuals that will soon accept the idea that if two people love each other, they should be able to marry, even if they're of the same sex. Who is it going to hurt anyway becomes the attitude. And they certainly do not want to be seen as hateful by the world. You see, this is the way it is in our world today. This is the way it is in so much of the church today, because so many have never moved from milk to meat. We can know if we are growing in the faith if we are simply honest with ourselves. We must always do what is right in God's eye and not our own. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." What are you eating in your spiritual diet? Are you on meat or milk? If you have been in the church for some length of time, I pray that you're on meat. Yes, at times we need to go back, have a little milk, bring things back to our remembrance. But we must move on to meat. Today is the time to start moving towards meat if you have not. To begin to grow in knowledge, and then learn to apply that knowledge to gain wisdom and move yourself in the direction of an eternity upon the heavenly shore. Hebrews chapter 5. I hope that you have enjoyed our time together this morning. I know that I certainly have, and I look forward to our meetings each week. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And then in a day or so, it'll be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website. You can take the on-demand tab and then the Mornings for the Master tab, and then select the day of which you have missed. And you can do that for nearly all of the other programs that you hear here on the TGRN. And so, be sure to tune in again tomorrow as Chris and JJ turn our attention to the 6th chapter of Hebrews, and you won't want to miss that. So, if the Lord wills, we will see you again next Wednesday at this same time, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Until then, this is Chris McElyea saying so long, and wishing you a fantastic day.